We're going to put ride-sharing services to the test in this next story. It seems every month we're hearing about companies like Uber and Lyft facing new legal threats. Right now in L.A. and San Francisco, district attorneys are looking into the quality of the background checks the companies do on their drivers. This comes as a new study in San Francisco shows Uber and Lyft are taking a lot of business away from traditional taxis. NPR's Laura Seidel did a comparison of her own.
I did an experiment with two of my colleagues, Michaeline Duclef and Richard Buster Gonzalez. We stood outside our office in San Francisco, and Michaeline called a taxi, Richard called an Uber, and I called a Lyft.
We are going to take it to the same destination, San Francisco's beautiful ferry building. So who's first, fastest, and cheapest? All right, are we ready? Let's go.
I'll tell you who won in a minute, but first here's Amy Keeshan to explain why she stopped using taxis.
I had too many bad experiences where I would call a cab and either be waiting for over an hour or over 2 hours in one case when I was pregnant and standing in front of UCSF Hospital.
But if you talk to traditional taxi drivers, as my colleague Michaeline Duclef did while she raced to the ferry building, they'll tell you that riders like Keeshan are taking a risk. Her driver, Abdullah Nabazar, says last New Year's an Uber driver hit and killed a six-year-old girl.
The Uber said we're not responsible because the driver didn't have the customer in the car. But he was going to pick up somebody.
Taxis in San Francisco are always covered by $1 million of insurance. Uber and Lyft, far less. And Kate Turan of San Francisco's Municipal Transportation Authority says rider services aren't set up to help the disabled. But since traditional taxi drivers are struggling to make ends meet, the number willing to put in the extra time to serve the disabled has dropped.
It's not easy to provide accessible taxi service, and it's something we've been doing for many years, and we still work hard at it. That requires a very robust training program.
Still, there's a feeling that overall service is better for most San Franciscans. Alan Cooper says it's gotten easier to get a traditional cab, and it's often cheaper during peak hours.
I've now found myself in those peak hours when Uber is at 2.5x surge pricing, or this morning, for instance, 10, 15 minutes away is the closest UberX. Hailing a cab is actually much easier.
But at other times, when you're far away from downtown at a non-peak hour, Uber and Lyft have a lot to offer. I took the Lyft.
Okay, so I've arrived, and I'm looking now for Buster or Michaeline.
I waited a couple of minutes.
Did you just get dropped off?
You beat me.
I beat you. How much did it cost you?
It cost Buster $12.09. It cost me $12. Michaeline doesn't arrive until 11 minutes after I do.
Now, how much did yours cost?
$20. $16, and I tipped in.
So, on this trip, Lyft came first, Uber was a close second, and the conventional cab a distant third. But ironically, when it came time to head back to the office, the Lyft driver couldn't find us along the crowded waterfront, so we hopped into an empty taxi. We started chatting with driver Frank Tan, and he shows us his new app, Flywheel. It's like Uber or Lyft for regular taxis.
When after the people use it, they will like it.
Clearly, the competition is forcing traditional cab companies to step up their game, and it's consumers who stand to reap the benefits. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.